015 Jolie, your Goliath, 19th of February 2012.
Are you ready to hear the word of God? I don't know about anybody else, but I am. Can I invite Pastor Jolie up to the front to share the word of God with us today?
Praise God. It's good to be here again. Last time I was here, I promise you, I say every time I come here, there is sunshine. Uh-huh. Amen. I'm responsible for the sunshine today. We thanks God for what is done in Strasbourg.
We do.
And we know that He's going to do the same when we go to Romania.
Yes.
Because, you know, everywhere there is the Spirit of God, yes, there is our home. It's good when we go to a place where we can relate to the Spirit of God.
Yeah, it is.
The Bible says, time will come when the true worshipper will worship God in spirit and truth. And what I love about this verse is, God is not after worship, but is after worshippers.
Yes.
It doesn't matter how you worship. It doesn't matter which language you're speaking.
Yeah.
All He wants you is to come and to say, Lord, here I am. I'm here to worship You. God can take His worship even from the stone, even from the bird of the sky.
Yeah.
But yet, He wants you and me to go to His presence and to say, here I am.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And that's wonderful about God. He's looking for worshipers.
Yeah.
Just go into His presence, and we thanks God for what He's done.
Yeah.
And I'm also glad that somebody has been told about His phone habit. That makes two of us.
Praise the Lord. The word says in the mouth of two or three witnesses.
There is another witness, that's it. Thanks God. We'll be reading from 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. I praise God for this opportunity, and I thanks the leadership of the church for this opportunity and for the trust. May the Lord bless you. We'll be talking about the story of David and Goliath. I was delighted when I came in as Bishop was bringing a word of encouragement just at the beginning. He mentioned about battle and about victory.
Yeah.
About us not being worried, but just being confident of victory. And this is what the Lord has been trying to put into my heart as well in relation to the story of David and Goliath. And I just want us to read first. It's a long story, but I know we've read it because it's one of the most told story in the Bible.
Yeah.
But we'll be picking some verse from verse 1 until 11.
Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Shoch, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shoch and Azarek, and in Ephesusium. And Saul, the man of Israel, were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was the valley between them. And there went a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass, and he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like the weaver's beam, and his spearhead weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, Why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am I not a Philistine, and ye servants of Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all of Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid.
Amen.
Now David was the son of...
That's fine. We can go to 23 if you want. 23 to 27. It's a long story, but we'll be picking just a few verses, and that will give us a brother.
And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were so afraid. Mm. And when the men of Israel said, have ye seen this man that is come up? Surely to defy Israel he is come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king, will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. Mm-hmm. And David spake to the men and that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine, mm-hmm. and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine, mm-hmm. that he should defy the armies of the living God?
Amen.
And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him.
Amen. I will be reading again from verse 34. The Bible says, from 34, but David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the army of the living God. The Lord will deliver me from the paw of the lion, and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And the last one is 45, who says, verse 45, David said to the Philistine, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the army of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. Today I'll give the carcass of the Philistine army to the bird of the air and the beast of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord, and he will give all of you into our hand. Amen. This is a wonderful story. No wonder it's one of the most told stories in the Bible. It's inspiring. It's amazing. Hallelujah. But you might wonder yourself, why Goliath? Goliath is dead already many years ago. Why are we keep talking about Goliath? We keep talking about Goliath because in our daily life, we face the reality of Goliath. It's like a spirit that's carry on. He can come as Pharaoh, he can come as Goliath, he can come like Amalekite. There is always Goliath facing us. Amen.
Yeah.
And Goliath is a challenge which is too big for us. It's too big. You can't even contemplate the idea of confronting Goliath. You live in fear because of Goliath. And this is why we want to be talking about this story. Because we want to remember our victory in the Lord Jesus. We want to encourage ourselves when we face Goliath. We want to remember our victory.
Yeah.
So today I just want to take us together so we can remember few things about dealing or confronting Goliath. Amen. So we can be encouraged once again and be confident in our spirit. Hallelujah. Goliath, it's first of all a giant, a very, very big giant. It's too tall, too big, and too strong.
Yeah.
You've got no chance, naturally, to defeat Goliath. And I think there is sometimes challenges that come this way. It's just too big.
Yeah.
That challenge is just too strong.
Yeah.
You have no chance. Hallelujah. You are so small comparing to Goliath. But guess what? Goliath has also weakness. Sometimes we concentrate on seeing just what makes us fear, but we don't look the opportunity beyond Goliath. Goliath, yes, he was too strong. He was too tall. He was too big. But David, no, he wasn't fast enough. The lion and the bear were fast enough, but he defeated them. And he knew Goliath is not fast enough. Hallelujah. There is something that we should know about Goliath. We can beat Goliath because the victory is the Lord. And the Lord gives victory to who he wants. Hallelujah. Not only Goliath is a giant, but he's also a champion. He's done many battles in the past. And he has a list of victims. When Goliath produced his CV, you can see a list of victims. And when you look at that list, many warriors have died defeating Goliath. And the army of Israel were just looking at Goliath and they say, we have no chance at all. Goliath is an experienced man. He knows how to battle. And we have no experience at all. And I think that sometimes that's the feeling that comes to us. When we're confronting or we're facing challenges. It can be financial challenges. It can be spiritual challenges. Sometimes it's even a sin. We can't get rid of a sin. Get rid of character. We're struggling to go to a place of victory. And we say, Lord, I can't do it. I'm not going to be able to do it. Sometimes it can be relationship. We're struggling to manage relationship with our brother or sister, with friends and neighbor. And it becomes such a burden. And you say, I can't do it. Hallelujah. With my neighbor, there's no chance. I can't do it. With this guy, there is no chance. I can't do it. Hallelujah. That's Goliath for us. It's a challenge too big and too tall. But thanks God, because we have victory in Goliath. I went in my life through different challenges. And sometimes when I was passing through those challenges, I was giving myself little chance. I was like, it's not going to work with me. I don't think I can do it. And I thanks God for the people of God, the men of God, who brought word of encouragement to me and say, listen, you can do it. The Lord has done it for you. We need sometimes to be reminded, to be reminded about our victory in God. Hallelujah. Goliath is too strong physically, and that makes you even be defeated mentally. Because not only you can't confront him, but you give yourself little chance. You can't even think or contemplate the idea of challenging him. So mentally and physically, Goliath is winning us. The challenges are winning us. That's why I did appreciate what Bishop says. He said, get out of that land of fear. Get out of that situation where you put yourself into pressure, into stress because of your challenge. Choose to live in happiness. Happiness is the choice. You can decide to rejoice in the Lord. Amen. You can just decide. You say, I'm not going to worry about this bill. I'm not going to worry about this sickness. I'm not going to be worried about this. I choose to delight in the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. It's a choice for us. Goliath will not go away. He needs to be confronted. He will not disappear. He needs to be confronted. You need to have the right attitude, the right character to confront Goliath. But David knew one thing. If you read the whole story, David never mentioned about the king or the rest of the army of Israel when he was addressing Goliath. He always talked about himself. He said, the Lord will hand you over to me. I will strike you. David make it a personal issue. When he make a plan, he doesn't say, I will come first and the army will come later. Or he doesn't say, the king will come with me. He goes first. He says, Goliath, I'm here to defeat you. You are my personal issue. I will deal with you. Amen. Yeah. We can face challenges in the church. We can face challenges in the community. But we need to make it our personal issue. Yeah. We need to sit with the Lord in prayer and say, Lord, this is an issue I want to resolve in prayer with you. It's not just about the whole church. I'm part of the church and I want this issue to be mine. I want this situation to change. I want this struggle to stop. You make it a personal issue for yourself. Hallelujah. Yes, we face a lot of struggle. There is a lot of source for different struggle we're facing. Sometimes we're struggling because God is taking us to a trial and He wants to teach us a lesson. He wants to take us to the next level. And He uses suffering to teach us. You can see in the Bible many stories of many men of God who has been tested by God so that they can become better. The purpose of trial is not to fail you. The purpose of trial is to take you to the next level. So you can grow in maturity, you can grow in faith. Hallelujah. But there is also the devil. But the devil tempts us, and the purpose of temptation is to fail us. And that's why the Bible says, beware, the devil is around like a lion, looking who to strike, who to destroy. But sometimes, we're facing trouble, and that was the case of David, because of the anointing of God upon our head. When you have the anointing of God upon your head, struggle will come your way. The Bible says, the prophet Samuel went to David's house when he was still a teenager, and he says, I anoint you as king over Israel. From that time, the process of Goliath was set up. David will be facing issues in his life because of the anointing of God. I always sometimes surprised when people ask God all the time, I want a breakthrough. And they think having a breakthrough is going to a land of free of suffering, free of challenges. That's not true. As a matter of fact, when you say breakthrough, it means going through the enemy lines. It means fending a way where normally you are not supposed to go. And the Lord said to you, I tell you one thing, you reach the end. But beware, you are going to a dangerous area. But you will reach the end. But in the process, there will be challenges. This is what breakthrough is all about. It's about engaging in battle, but being also confident of our victory. But we will suffer in the way. We will encounter difficulties in the way. That's why we don't complain, because we know the end. We know we'll get there. We have our breakthrough. We have our victory. People are following blessings all over the place because they want to live in a land free of trial, free of test. This will not happen. You can't manipulate God. Hallelujah. The Lord said, you reach the other side. But this is your breakthrough. And you will go through challenges. Hallelujah. And that was the situation with David. It was the anointing of God that created those struggles. You can also look at 1 Chronicles chapter 14, verse 8. This is another story where the anointing of David attracts enemy to his life. 1 Chronicles chapter 18, verse 8. The Bible says, when the Philistine heard that David had been anointed king over all Israel, they went up in full force to search for him. Hallelujah. When they heard that David was anointed king over all Israel, they went up in full force to search for him. Why to search for him? Because they want to destroy him. Because of his anointed. Hallelujah. And that's sometimes Christians are looking to cast demons all over the place when they see challenges. But the challenges sometimes comes from your anointing. Sometimes the devil is surprised. He says, nothing to do with me. It's the anointing of God upon our life. And we thank God, hallelujah, that He has chosen us to be people who are full of His Spirit so we can do His will. Hallelujah. Amen. But there is things we should remember about this struggle and about this battle. And there is so many, but I've identified a few that I want to share with you. The first one is in verse 36 of 1 Samuel 17 that we have just read. And in verse 36, David is recalling his past victory. The past victory over the lion and the bear. The first things to remember when you're facing challenges is remember your past victories. Remember what the Lord has done with you in the past. Your past victory prepare the way for you for your future and for your next battle. Your past victory is like a school where you have been trained for the great things to come. There is no spiritual life without victory. All Christian has victory in Christ. From the first day you were born again, you have started living in a victory. Because many people heard the word of God, but they couldn't choose to become Christian. But you did it. That was a great victory in your life. And that was the very first process of victory in your life. Every single Christian has victory over demons, over Satan, over the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of hell, because of our connection and our relationship with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It is very important to remember that Christian life without victory doesn't exist. If you are a Christian, you're living in victory. Amen. You know, when you become a Christian, you're going through a process. First of all, the Bible says you are born again. Yeah. You are like a little baby. Yeah, innocent baby. You know nothing about the environment, but you have your daddy DNA. You have your daddy nature. You have that victory inside you. Yeah. You are not aware of it yet. You don't know the environment you're going through. Don't worry. Victory is inside you. Amen. Hallelujah. You are like a little baby. You're going through a period of childhood. Yeah. Then you will go through another period, which is like becoming a teenager. And when you become a teenager, that's the time when you are filled with the Spirit. Yes. You are energetic. You are jumping and shouting. You feel like you can take the whole world. You feel like you can do everything because you are a teenager. And that's very important. You know, some churches, they like being teenager in the spirit. It's good. It's good. Yeah. Hallelujah. Let us not be judgmental. It's a very important step in our maturity. Yeah. We need to come to a point in our spiritual life where we feel confident enough, where we think we are strong. Yeah. And then we don't have to stick at that level. We need to go now into the third level, which is maturity. And this is being led by the Spirit. So we're becoming by being born by the Spirit, going through being filled with the Spirit, and then being led by the Spirit. And when we are led by the Spirit, we're becoming mature. We know how to control ourselves. We know how to use our strength. A teenager doesn't know how to use his strength. He knows he's strong, but he doesn't know how to control his strength. But a mature person knows when to use his strength. And this is what the Lord wants us. As we're going through that process, we're picking victory. Yeah. So a balanced Christian life, it's all about keeping the good thing of being a baby, keeping the good thing of being a teenager, and keeping the good thing of being a mature. Keeping that innocence of the childhood, keeping that strength and passion and energy of being filled with the Spirit, and keeping the maturity, patience, control of being led by the Spirit. Hallelujah. And this is our victory in Christ. This is something that the Lord has already set up for us. So when you face challenges, just remember where you're coming from, and you'll see that you have won a lot of battle. Amen. And David says, I am here today because I've won a battle yesterday. If I didn't win the battle against the lion, I wouldn't be alive today. If I'm alive today, that's because I'm a victorious person. Amen. So I've got a good news for you. You are here because you are a victorious person. Amen. Many have started as you to pray the Lord. Today they've given up. But you are here in the church today because you are victorious. Amen. Many had issue in the church. They couldn't stand the pastor and they ran away. But you are here. That's because you are victorious. You won the battle. You won the battle of submission. You won the battle of relationship with the fellowship with brothers and sisters. You won the battle. Many at some point has been upset against God. You know, it's happened to everybody. at some point you are really upset about God. You say, why this is happening to me? But today you are still here today. That's because you won that battle. We all have victory in Christ. Hallelujah. So don't be afraid of the challenges that come in front of you. Just remember yesterday what you've been through, and the Lord has kept you. And you say, Lord, as you did for me in the past, you will do it again today. Hallelujah. Second things to remember when facing Goliath is can be found on verse 38 and verse 40. When they came to David, and Saul gave to David his armor. Is it armor, Pastor Dan?
Yeah.
His armor.
Yeah.
And he gave it to David. He said, use my armor against Goliath. But David wasn't comfortable using somebody else's weapons. Second fix to remember, remember to be yourself.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You are good enough for God.
Amen.
You are good enough. You've got everything you need to face Goliath.
Amen.
Sometimes there is a temptation that my challenges are too big. I need a special man of God who will come from the U.S. with a special bottle of anointing. He will put his hand into and I will be free. There is always that temptation that I need a special ministry. I need a special Bible. I need a special kind of solution for my problem. It's too big for me to handle. Guess what? Be yourself.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Be yourself. Everything was there. David just remembered, when I faced the lion, when I faced the bear, I didn't have a special armor. I only have my stone. And this is what I'm going to use. Hallelujah. This is what I'm going to use. You know, in the past, when the army went to war, they need to wear the armor. It wasn't like today where soldiers wear uniforms. Uniform is much more just to distinguish between different units in the army. The Marines have their uniform. The Air Forces has their uniforms. Or you can distinguish army from different country. The U.S. Army has the uniform. The German or British Army has the uniforms as well. But in the whole time, that uniform was a protection, actually. It was a weapon. It was a weapon of protection. So, the uniform of the king, the armor of the king, was the best in the land. You couldn't find better than Saul armor in the whole land of Israel. So that was the best weapon they gave to David. But he says, I don't need this. I'm not feeling comfortable enough. All I need is the Lord. Because the battle belongs to the Lord. Because you also remember, Saul had the weapons but didn't dare to attack Goliath. So it's not about the armor. It's about having faith in the Lord. And that's what came to David. He says, it's not about being a great person. It's about being faithful. That's the key. God doesn't look for great men of God, for great ministry. He's looking for faithful, for servants who are faithful, for ministry who are faithful. Hallelujah. Today, all ministry are looking to go on TV, becoming powerful TV station, you know, becoming great. But this is not what it's all about. It's all about faithfulness. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
I like the story of the Bible. In the end, the Bible says that the Lord Jesus has been crowned king all over, all king, not because he was anointed, because he was found faithful in the house of God. You will never impress God by your anointing, because it comes from him. The only thing that will impress God coming from you is your faithfulness. When you are faithfulness, then you reach the heart of God. And that's why God was telling Satan, he said, have you seen my servant Job? He's faithful to me. God didn't say, have you seen how rich he is? No. God is not impressed by what you have. He's impressed by your faithfulness. And David knew it. So it's about being faithful even in the little things. The key to overcome Goliath is in the past. Have you been faithful in the past, in the little things? This is the key to greatness. Amen. The third thing I want to take you through is can be found on verse 31. Verse 31, I'll be reading verse 31. The Bible says, he turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter. And the man answered him as before, what David said was overheard and reported to Saul, and Saul sent for him. Amen. David said to Saul, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. You know, the biggest mistake the army of Israel did when confronting Goliath, they gave Goliath too many chances to speak, but them, they never spoke to Goliath. Goliath was cursing them, he was speaking to them, discouraging them, but no one in the army of Israel took the courage to go in front and reply to Goliath. So the third thing to remember when facing challenges, remember to speak. Do not keep silence. Remember to speak to your challenges. When your challenges says you won't be able to do it, you have to reply and to say, I can do all things by him. Hallelujah. When your sickness says to you, you will die, there is no hope for you, say to him, I will live because Christ is my life. Remember to speak to your challenges. Don't keep silent. Goliath knew how important it was to speak to the army of Israel. He was spending the whole day in the valley speaking to the army of Israel. He said, why are you coming against me? I'll kill all of you. And they were running away. But when David came, as soon as he listened to those words from Goliath, he said, no, I'm not having this. I'm not having this. Because faith is nourished by the word. You have to nourish your faith by the word of God. The more word you speak and you get into your heart is the more word and the more your faith grow. People even get encouraged when David started to speak. As soon as the young boy came in the battlefield and he started to speak, the army of Israel suddenly became encouraged and they took the matter over the king and they say, maybe there is a solution. We find a young person. We need today in the church people who can bring us another version. We need people who can come and encourage us and give us a word of encouragement so we can say, wow, maybe there is a way out. Maybe there is a chance for me. I don't have to sit and be miserable. Maybe there is a way out. And this is what David did. He changed the whole atmosphere of the army of Israel. Oh, they didn't need a shower or a tank. They didn't need a plane or powerful weapon to get encouraged. They all need a word from God. Just a word was enough to raise faith. Just a word was enough to declare the promise of God. That was important. Amen. And that's something that we should always remember when we're facing challenges. Speak to your situation. Speak to your situation. Because Goliath himself was a message. And the message was, you can't do it. This is what Goliath is all about. When you look at your finances, you go to your bank manager, he says to you, you know what? This is Goliath. There's nothing we can do for you. When you look at your sickness, you go and see your doctor says, this is Goliath. There's nothing I can do for you. When you are in a difficult situation, you look at everything around you, it all say one thing. This is Goliath. We can do nothing for you. But David came and said, never mind about Goliath. God can do all things for me. Hallelujah. Never mind about Goliath. And he said, Goliath, I'm here for you. This is what David said. He said, Goliath, I'm not afraid of you. I'm here for you. I'm here to deal with you. And today, God will end you over me. And do you know what he produced? Goliath gets irritated. He loses control. Because that's the key to defeat the devil. The key to defeat the devil is not to let your faith be shaken. Everything the devil is putting on you has one purpose and one only, is your faith. He wants to reach out to your faith. So if you say to the devil, you know what? You can do everything you want. My faith is there. Then he gets irritated and he loses control. I like that about, you know, the boxer called Muhammad Ali. He was a funny character, isn't he? When he was in the ring, all he was doing was to provoke the adversary. Just to irritate him. Because he knew, when you do professional sport, you don't have to be irritated. You have to keep control. As soon as you become irritated, you lose the battle. And Ali knew that very well. And he was using that against his enemy. And this is what happened to Goliath. He was irritated that a little boy wasn't afraid of him. He says, "Who are you? Why are you not afraid of me?" And he became so irritated that he forgot to protect himself. And that was his weakness. So everything happening to you has only one purpose, is to reach out to your faith. That's what the Lord said, "Blessed those who are not irritated against me. Blessed those who are not," I'm looking the right word in English, "those who are not shaken because of me. Those who are confident in me." That's the word. "Blessed those who are not offended against me." So as long as you are not offended against God, the devil can do nothing. Amen. He can do nothing. You are in the winning side. You are in the victory land. As long as you are not offended against God. As long as you say to God, "You know what? I still love you." Amen. The devil gets irritated. That's what was happening to Job. God said to Job, he said to the devil, "Go and touch him. You will see, he will not be offended against me." And the devil went, he touched everything from Job. And Job wouldn't dare be offended against God. Job's wife get offended. He said to Job, "Curse him and let go. We are perishing." Job says, No. I'm disappointed, yes, but I'm not offended against God. I know one day he will tell me. One day he will teach me. His friend came in. Oh, sometimes we need friends to be silent. He came in, their friend came in and they start accusing him of many things. He said, "I know one thing I haven't sinned against God. I know one thing I'm not also offended against God." And the more he was doing that, the devil had nothing else to prove. Amen. And he ran away. And that's the key for us today. Are you going through financial struggle? Are you going to health issues? Are you going to relationship problem? Just one thing, do not be offended in God. Choose to delight in the Lord and you will win your victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The fourth thing to remember, and I have to go quickly. Verse 31, the Bible says, especially in 32, David said to Saul in 32, "Let no one lose heart in account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." And if you go a bit further, just 1 minute. Okay, it's verse 40. The Bible says in the verse 40, "Then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd bag, and with his sling in his hand, he approached the Philistine." There is another version who says, he went towards the Philistine. Remember something, to go forward. You know, sometimes Christians are good with words, but when it comes to going forward, they don't do it. David wasn't just shouting and declaring things. he also went forward. We shouldn't be just, you know, talkers. We should be doers. Even when we proclaim our love to God and our love to our neighbor, it shouldn't be just in words. It should be in action. We should love in action. David went towards Goliath. Christians are really good with slogans today. They are good in shouting and proclaiming things, which is good. But when it comes to do things, people don't do it. When it comes to do things, they don't do it. We take commitment, or we will do this in the church. But when it comes to do the things, everybody disappears.
Yeah.
We took commitment to go forward. But when the challenges came, no one is there. Goliath won't be defeated if you are just talking. You need to put your hands on and start walking. You need to remember to go forward. That was the one thing that was lacking in the army of Israel. No one went forward. Goliath was having a free time, an easy ride. He was coming to the valley shouting, and no one went towards him but David. He went forward. He's a man of action. He's a man of action. The Bible says, do not love just by word. Love by your action.
Amen.
And that's very important. Faith without work is dead. Faith must be accompanied by works. We need to prove what we are prophesying. If we are man of God, we need to do what we are preaching. It's not good enough to say, follow what I'm saying, but don't follow what I'm doing. As Christian, what we say should be what we do. Our yes should be yes. Amen. And I think one of the reasons why David went forward, it's because when he saw Goliath, he saw the opportunity. He asked the question. He said, what are they going to do to the person who will kill Goliath? And they told him, they say, the person who killed Goliath will be free from tax from all his life.
Oh, man.
He will never pay taxes again.
Jesus.
He said, wow, no more taxpayers. No more letter from the taxpayer. That's fantastic. And they say, hey, guess what? The second thing, if you kill Goliath, the king will give you his daughter in marriage. He said, really? I come from a poor family. And I have a chance here to get connected with the royal family. I'll go to us. He saw the opportunity. But the army of Israel, when they saw Goliath, they saw the challenges. So it's all about perception.
Yeah.
What is your perception? What do you see from your struggle? If you see the challenges, you'll never dare to go. But if you see the opportunity beyond the challenges, you will go forward.
Yeah.
And David knew it. That was his motivation. He says, Goliath, I have to win you today. Because if I win you, I'll be free from taxes. And I will be connected to the royal family. That was his destiny. And that's very important for us, to change our perception of things that are coming to our way. Everything that are coming to our way has a purpose. But the Bible says that everything works for the good of those who love God. Regardless what we are going through, God can turn it to be an opportunity for us. Hallelujah. The fifth thing to remember that you have the victory before even you get into the battlefield.
Yeah.
The victory is already yours.
Amen.
Remember that the victory is yours. And this is what David was telling to Goliath. He knew he had the victory. He knew he wasn't fighting for the victory. He was fighting to confirm his victory.
Amen.
To acknowledge his victory.
Yeah.
Because our victory has been won in at the cross of Golgotha. When the Lord Jesus gave his life, this is where our victory lies. Our victory is in the cross. We are a victorious people. We are a nation which have been blessed. We are a people which have been set apart. We're living in a victory because of the Spirit of the Lord.
Yeah.
Another thing to remember to give all the glory to God. When Goliath day is dead, remember, it's not about you. It's about God.
Amen.
This is something you find in the a bit later in the story. When David finally managed to kill Goliath, all the women of Israel started to sing his name. They started to praise him. You know, when the devil or your struggle comes to you, and when you manage to win the victory, the devil comes now to sing your praises, because he's changing now the battlefield. He will be singing your praises because he knows that the glory belongs to God. But if you start taking the glory, then you'll be losing. And this is what he did with David. All the women in Israel started to sing the name of David. But you know the solution? Sing the praise to God.
Yes.
He started writing psalm. Started writing about the victory over Goliath. He started to praise God for the battle. To praise God for the victory. When you read the book of Psalm, you saw on so many occasions, David gives glory to God because of that victory. The very key for us is to sing the praises to the Lord. Just keep on singing the praises to the Lord, and the devil will be defeated. Every time you sing the praises to the Lord, the devil is defeated. Even when you look at the story of Jesus, he was also, at some point, the devil was singing his glory so that he will fail, so that he will take all the glory. I remember at some point, a woman was shouting, "Blessed be your mother, blessed be your family." And Jesus knew exactly what was going on. There is a man of God. He was a great preacher. And every time he was preaching, when he finished, people come to him and congratulate him. They say, "You know, you are a great preacher." But that became a weakness for him, because he started to take gratification from that. Until the Lord show him the danger he was going through. So when he understood the lesson, one day he finished to preach, and a man of God came to him and said, "You are the best preacher I've never seen." Then he said to the man of God, he said, "I know, the devil just told me now. He just told me now." So he knew exactly what was going on. He knew that it was the devil trying to make him take the glory that belongs to God. Because actually, today we have a lot of men of God who are walking like generals, you know, with a lot of medallion, a lot of, how do you call that?
Stripe.
To show how many victory they've won.
Medals.
How many medals they've won. But in heaven, all of us will take our crown. And we'll leave it to the King.
Amen.
And we say, "It's all about you, Jesus."
Amen.
When you started taking all the glory to you, you started showing how great you are, how powerful you are, actually, you are losing the battle.
Amen.
Goliath is winning over you. And the very last thing that I want us to remember as we're talking about challenges, remember that there will be another Goliath. You might kill Goliath today, there will be another one. Ah, he has brothers. There will be another one. 2 Samuel 21. I'll be reading from verse 20. "In still another battle, which took place at Gath, there was a huge man with 6 fingers on each hand and 6 toes on each foot, 24 in all. He also was descended from Rapha. When he taunted Israel, Jonathan, son of Shammah, David's brother, killed him."
Yeah.
"These 4 men were descended of Rapha in Gath, and they fell at the end of David and his men." This is another giant coming from Gath, which is the same village. The same village Goliath came from. So you might be victorious today, tomorrow there will be another battle. It's all the process. As long as we'll be here on earth, we'll go through different battles. through different challenges. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:12, our struggle is not against flesh, not against blood, but against rulers, powers, authority of this dark world. He says, on a continuous basis, our struggle is not against flesh. On a continuous basis. It's a progress. In Luke chapter 4, verse 13, the Bible says, when the devil had finished all this tempting, he left Jesus until an appropriate time. He might be losing today, he will come again tomorrow. So as a church, we should not be distracted when we have victory. Thanks God for what happened to Strasbourg. But guess what? Yeah. Let's think about the road ahead. Let that not be too complacent. No. Let that think ahead. There will be another battle tomorrow. Yeah. There will be another challenges tomorrow. Goliath will be there tomorrow. For now, let us give the glory to God. Let us rejoice in our victory. But we know that Goliath will come again. But victory will be ours. So I really want you today to be confident in your victory in Christ. Whatever you're going through, remember first of all that victory is yours. Remember you have the victory before even going into the battlefield. Remember your past victories, because the small victories prepare you for the things to come. Remember to use your own way. Be yourself. Do not try to be somebody else. I want this church to be this church, not to be another church. Just be as you are. This is the way God calls you. Hallelujah. I want to be myself. I don't want to be bishop. I want to be myself. I can't be him. I can only be myself. Hallelujah. And this is how I am. And this is what God wants me to be. Remember again one thing. Remember, as we say, that to give all the glory to God. Remember to give all the glory to God. And remember, there will be another Goliath. May the Lord bless you. If it is okay for you, I just want for a few minutes, if we can all pray. I just want us to thank God for our past victories. Just remember in the past what the Lord has done for you. Maybe you think you have no victory in your life, but the fact that you are a Christian shows that it's a victory already. You've won the battle of repentance. You've won the battle of a new life in Christ. Maybe in the past, there is things you were doing which was bad in the eyes of God, but you managed to get rid of those things. It's a great victory. Maybe in the past, you were sick and God healed you from a sickness, from a illness. This is a victory. I just want us to thank God for your victory. It can be for a personal victory. It can be for the church victory. Let us just praise God for his victory. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for everything, Father. Thank you for everything you did for me. Thank you for last year. You know what I've been through last year. But Lord, you've been there for me. And you've blessed me. You rescued me. From my enemy, you saved me. You protected me. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for everything you did to me. I didn't deserve it, but you did it for me, Lord. It wasn't about me. It was about you. I thank you for those victories. I thank you for everything you did for me, for everything you did for my family. Lord, I thank you. And I know you will do it again. You are faithful. You are a faithful Lord. You are an awesome God. Oh, Lord, in you I put my trust. I'm not going to be shaken by my enemies. I'm not going to be afraid of my struggle. I'm not going to be afraid of the challenges that are coming ahead of me, because I know you are my victory. And I give you all the praise. I give you all the glory. Hallelujah.